Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the show, Linda Siegel will be with us with the legislative update, and Robert Knott will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I'm delighted to welcome Nancy McGurr. She is a photojournalist, she's a former Reuters photographer, and she's the founder of Photo Kids, and she will be speaking today and on Sunday. We'll give more information about that at the end of this segment. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So this was, we'll talk about Photo Kids in a second, but let's talk about you. You were a war photographer in the 1980s in Central America.
Yeah, that's right. I was based in El Salvador and Honduras and covered it for 6 years.
Tell us about that. I mean, that must have been grueling.
Wow. Yeah, it was grueling. You never knew what was going to happen from day to day. It was exciting because you were seeing history unfold. It was actually, you were a part of it because you knew all the players. But on the other hand, you were always on edge because whatever it seemed would happen, you'd read about something in the paper, but you'd go back out and it would be something completely different. The one thing that I felt very privileged was because I went from UPI to Reuters staff, and they had just acquired the photo service. So they were pretty much okay with what I covered, whatever I covered. So it gave me a feeling that, well, I was certainly responsible, and I'd gone down there feeling quite critical of the U.S. role in Salvador specifically and most of the region. So I was able to cover it and show the things, death squads and massacres. And
without fear that it was going to be censored for political reasons.
Right, exactly.
Very interesting. So then how did you find yourself in Guatemala?
Well, I used to go up to Guatemala for some R&R during those 6 years.
You would go on vacation to Guatemala.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, everybody says that people don't, but wasn't it a little bit of a war zone itself?
Well, it was, yeah, and it was actually the spookiest of all the countries. Because many of the regions, people didn't speak Spanish, and there were the civil patrols. And
they spoke native languages.
Yeah. And there was no idea of journalists actually covering the war. But no, I go up there, and when I quit Reuters in 1989, it was during the elections, and we'd had a meeting the night before around 9:30, and at 5 o'clock I got a call early in the morning telling me that I would be in charge of the elections, which I said, well, yeah, I know.
In charge, I mean photographically.
Yeah, photographically. And they said, well, you know, it's because Pat, who is my immediate supervisor, is with Roberto. He was shot dead by the army last night. And Luis, they shot him also. The guys were on the back of a motorcycle. They stopped at a military checkpoint and were shot from the back as they pulled out. And Roberto was killed instantly, but Luis had, was shot through the lung, through the arm. And after interrogating him for a couple hours, they threw him in the trash beyond the hospital. So somebody just went in and happened to check at the hospital, a local crew, and they found Luis in the trash. So.
And these were your friends and colleagues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and these guys I trained. You know, these were, I was very, very close. I still can't see Luis without, you know, tearing up. But, and then we had to get a Wackenhut private guard on his door because they disconnected his ventilator. So I found I was getting getting angry. And so it was time to probably quit Daily News because if you're angry, you make mistakes, and it's not just your own life you're putting in danger, but somebody else's as well. So I decided to go to Guatemala. That's the long story. And do things that didn't have to do with war. Do stories on the environment, archaeology, the indigenous movement, and kids projects. And that's kind of what led into what I'm doing now.
So you were in Guatemala, and you founded this group that's now called, this project that's now called Photo Kids, but originally it was called Out of the Dump, and that was quite literal.
Yeah. I started, I went down to take pictures of the garbage dump in Guatemala City, and I was immediately surrounded by a zillion kids. There were 3,500 people living in the garbage dump, and 1,500 of them were kids. And I got to know two religious social workers that worked there. And I would go back to take more pictures. But in the back of my mind, I was always thinking about what kind of pictures the kids would take. They were very interested in my camera. You know, they wanted to hold it, look through it, the whole thing. And I thought they'd take probably more interesting pictures. And when one of the the women that I knew had a heart attack, she asked me to take over her literacy class, which had like six kids in it from 5 to 12 years old. I thought they were going to be older, but they were so tiny when they first came in.
So teaching kids like that, you basically gave them cameras and said, go for it.
Yeah, I just got point and shoot, 35 millimeter film cameras. We only had three of them. And actually, in the beginning, we walked with each other. Each kid got 11 shots on the roll. And they were always keeping track of somebody, or if somebody was taking too long. And we walked, the first things we did was walk through the neighborhood and take pictures of people working. And these cameras were so bad that you had to get 5 feet from the person for the flash to work. So it brought them in much closer than they wanted to be. And then the next day, I printed them out, and the kids then would take them, and they gave them to the people that they'd taken the pictures of. So we immediately made a million friends in the dump. Too many, because people would, say, "When can I pick up the shot?" Basically.
So what were these kids' lives like? I think most Americans don't even know that there are people in many places living essentially in garbage dumps.
Yeah. At the time, it was all black water, sewage running through between the huts. The huts were made out of scavenged tin, scavenged boards, pieces of cardboard. Later I started on the railroad tracks, which was almost as bad, and they had no latrines. So people would do their necessities inside their house on a piece of newspaper and then take it out to somebody who would collect it. So both in the dump and every place, the conditions were just horrible. Everything got eaten by rats and water leaked in. I mean, now the conditions are much, much better. They're in cement block houses and they have running water, potable water. Before, there was only three faucets for 3,500 people.
So you were working with these kids. What were their photographs like?
Oh, they were great. I mean, I did all this editing for Reuters. That was my job for 6 years, plus taking pictures. But, I had different people working with me, so I did all the editing. And these guys were great. I couldn't believe their pictures, and I also couldn't wait to get into the darkroom. It was all black and white at that time. We've moved into digital since then. But it was all black and white, and I couldn't wait to get in and see what they had. They had incredible pictures. Their aunt doing glue and parents fighting. They censored nothing, and that I didn't realize at the time. But a lot of that had to do with their age. As they got older, they got more self-censoring.
So you'd have a six-year-old who would take pictures of anything at all.
Yeah, they were just so thrilled to have a camera. Anything, yeah.
Did you find, here you are, photojournalist, highly experienced. If you are walking around with a Guatemalan 8-year-old in the same place, do you end up taking very different pictures?
Well, one thing I really made sure of was I never took pictures when I was out with them. Because I didn't want to look like a pagan, like I was sending these kids out to take this picture, take that picture. So I'd stay very much in the background, and the kids would go ahead, and they decided what pictures to take. I knew they'd have a lot more intimacy than my pictures because they're of their homes and it's just taken spontaneously. But, it's different. If you're taking your own home life and you're taking your own ambiente, it's going to be a lot different than me coming in and looking for that essential picture that tells everything
in one photo. We're talking to photojournalist Nancy McGurr about the project called Photo Kids. So this was basically a way, it turned into a project that gave these kids an opportunity as they grew up, and this has been going on for over a decade, to have other opportunities, to get out of poverty, to get out of the dump.
This has been going on for 18 years. I had no idea when I started. I thought I'd do it for 6 months to a year. But almost immediately we were pretty successful and had a show in a year and a half in Tokyo. So, and that first show, they brought me to Tokyo, but not any kids. But after that, we've had a couple shows in London. We've had them in Amsterdam. We've had them in Paris, Seville, Spain, Medellin, Colombia, New York City, Houston, Texas, all over, San Francisco. And the kids travel. So I'll take at least 2 to 4 kids with me. And yeah, I had no idea when I started, that I could use photography as a tool. I just thought, they'd photograph their ambience and we'd see what it was like and that sort of thing. But they just took off with it. And then I sold some photos, note cards that I'd made up. And I said, well, I made $150 off of this. This was, you know, 18 years ago. What would you like me to do? And they said, put us in school. So from there, started to private individuals are helping out with putting them through school. And we have 11 in the university. And we have two graduates, and one in graphic design and one in journalism, another one this year in computer engineering. Small business administration. So they go into other things other than photography.
Right, right. Yeah. But they have the confidence, the education, yeah, and the broader horizon.
Well, yeah. And part of it is, you know, the whole idea that you can dream to get out of it. Because if you're only seeing, you know, a lot of them came from single mom families, you know, and the mother's working so hard, and there just seems to be no way up. So if you can actually see that there's a way out. And you the great thing about it, I think, is that the kids that are now, I have kids with me. I have two kids that have been with me the full 18 years. I have a lot of other ones that have been with me, at least eight kids that have been with me 10 to 12 years. And they do all the teaching. They're the staff. And they've sort of taken on the project.
And they become really good photographers.
Oh, yeah. Really good photographers, really good teachers, and role models. Because they go back in, the way we expand is they go back into their neighborhoods. And now we're working a lot of gang neighborhoods. We're not working so much in the dump. There's a lot of other people working there. But nobody wants to touch the gang neighborhoods. So we get into those neighborhoods where these kids are from. And so that we do the first 3 months there in the dump and then move them to our school in the city.
Tell us more about these gang neighborhoods.
They're really awful. We just started a new one in a place called Tierra Nueva Dos. And the two girls that have been with me the 18 years, Rosa and Marta, they live in Tierra Nueva Dos. But it also, there's 37 families of assassinated bus drivers there. In the last 5 years, we've had 391 bus drivers assassinated.
What's 14
are
there.
Well, what it is, it's the gangs extorting. And if you don't pay, you know, 100 quetzales or whatever it is for your run or for a week, or if the owner of the bus line doesn't pay, they will kill any bus driver on that bus line. So, you know, so I've got these stories. I was just reading the kids' bios again yesterday because we started with a bunch of little kids because the idea is you get them in young, you get them in 7 and 6, and then they have their own gang, which is a photo gang, instead of the other gang. But my God, this kid was writing, and it just, even now when I think about it, he said, well, they asked him what their best moments were and what their worst moments. And he said, well, the worst moment for me was when I came home from the house one day from school, and it was dark inside my house, and I saw that my mother had hung herself, and it was dark, and I'm so afraid of the dark now. And why did she leave me? How could she, didn't she know I love her? And she left me alone. I just go, oh, my God, every time I read this. These kids have a really hard, hard, hard life. They have to fuss, you know, all the different things they have to go through.
Do you have to kind of play social worker a little bit with these kids?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's one reason why I sort of kept it small. I mean, people have always offered us, you know, different aid organizations have said, oh, yeah, do it for us. We've got 500 kids or whatever. And it's like, what I think it's held us together is the attention, the constancy that they know you're there, that they know there's a backup
right
for them. And then, you know, having these other kids, like I said, that are now in their 20s, 28, 26, that have passed through the same things, those guys are very sympathetic. And at the same time, you know, you got to just pull up your socks and you know, and deal with it and move on, you know. I think the journalism helped for that one.
So meanwhile, you are here, Photo Kids is thriving, and you're here,
yeah,
traveling. You're doing some talks and sales and so on, mm-hmm, here in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to be at the Hacienda Doña Andrea tonight.
That's tonight.
And it's from 4 to 9, and I'll be doing a presentation at 5:30 and another one at 7:30. And they have hors d'oeuvres and silent auction, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's not, the road's been plowed, so everything's fine. You can get up there. It's only like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes down. It's between Cerrillos and Madrid. For directions, you can call 505-424-8995. 424-8995. And you can go to the website hdasantafe.com. hdasantafe.com.
Doña Andrea, and you can even Google that, and it's also on photokids.org, which is FOTOKids.org. We put it on the front page.
And you will also be, Nancy McGurr, at the New Mexico History Museum this Sunday at 2:00, and you will be speaking about fighting poverty with photography, the Photo Kids Project.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so what do? You fundraise if people want to make contributions?
Yeah, we have an education scholarship where you can pay for a kid for a year's education for like $300 to $600, whatever you can afford. At this benefit, you know, whatever, any donation is gratefully accepted and not doesn't have to be. And, I'll have prints there of the more recent prints that the students have done.
And I have to say, I went to photokids.org. Photo, by the way, is spelled with an F. Photokids.org, F-O-T-O. And some of the, you know, you're expecting, like, with the lives that these kids have lived, some grim pictures. There's so much beauty and nature and vivid colors and joy in these photographs.
No, and that's the way they were almost from the beginning. There were a couple of gritty ones, you know, but mostly it was a celebration of life. Which is really cool. And now, one thing I did want to add was that the older kids have got their own design studio and are working and doing outsourcing work for things in Seattle, for photo companies there, and designing websites and graphic design. And
lots of good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Nancy McGurr is a photojournalist. She was formerly with Reuters. She's the founder of Photo Kids, which again can be found at fotokids.org, photokids.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks, Mary Charlotte.
And we're going to take a break right now. Linda Siegel will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned.